Welcome, dear souls. This is Straight from the Heart, and I'm your host, Juliana. Welcome, everyone, to today's show. And I'm very honored today to introduce you to my two very special guests for today's show, the great Master Santamin and Sia Nali. Sia Nali is a master intuitive for the past 21 years. Her works are helping people to discover their personal truth and opening their heart. She facilitates this by permanently removing old patterns, clearing past lives, soul parallel lives, and dimensional relationships from the matrix of root cause. Santamin is a keynote speaker, lecturer, and facilitator of meditations, affirmations, visualizations, sound healing, and more. He's also an author, musician, singer, and songwriter. In his journey through time and many lives, he was the first being to bring the Mayan calendar to humanity, which he brought with him from the Pleiades. Santamin's mission is to simply remind people of things that they might have forgotten through time, because Santamin believes that everyone knew everything in the beginning. He is here to trigger memory by practicing self-mastery techniques through the cleansing of the four lower bodies, physical, mental, emotional, and the etheric body, or what is called the memory body. He utilizes techniques to trigger memory, enabling beings to have the option to remember who they are, their lineage name, where they come from, how they got here, why they're here, and where they're going. Santamin's memory spans over 1 million years and 4 different constellations. He has served in the solar system, the Pleiades, in Lyra, Cyrus, and before that in the great central sun source. Today, Santamin will discuss with you his journey and embodiment. Please, listeners, give a warm and loving welcome to Santamin and Sia. Welcome, Santamin, and welcome, Sia, and thank you so very, very much for being my very special guest today on the show.
Thank you.
So, Sia, would you like to go ahead and let the listeners know how you came into Santamin's life, how you met him, and so forth, and then, Santamin, you can just take over the rest of the show, and I think you'll have approximately about 40 minutes, and you can just go ahead and bring your message across.
Excellent.
Okay. It's my greatest pleasure to be on today, and my husband and I in May traveled to Mount Shasta for the WESAC Festival. And while we were there at the expo on the very last day, I had a gentleman come up to my booth and wanted to experience the meditation tools I had, and he piled them all up in front of him. And within a matter of moments, he was sweating and shaking, and I wasn't sure he was okay, but he also began speaking to me, telling me that Saint Germain was coming to see us. And we thought something was wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, "No, Saint Germain, Saint Germain." And a little bit, he raised his arm, and he pointed to the corner, and he said, "In 5 minutes, he's going to walk through that door." And in 5 minutes, the gentleman that I have with me on the phone today walked through that door, the spitting image of Saint Germain. I saw the crown of his Elohim and a heart I had never, ever experienced before, with its depth and expressiveness. The violet flame around him is so profound and deep. My mission now is to let the world know he's here. So it's my greatest pleasure today to welcome Saint Germain to share with all of you.
Well, thanks for sharing, Tia. That was beautiful. It was an honor meeting you. It was a magical day that day. And again, just so thankful for these doors to open, and for this program to be open, to having yourself and myself here, and to share. I'm going to start a little bit in the beginning about how I was given permission to be in the public, and to go back before that, and how I embodied in this time, and just to start a little bit at the beginning. I, amongst millions of other beings, are what they call a walk-in or an embodiment is different than an incarnation. An incarnation is someone who comes through the birth canal and is still in the karmic cycle of the death and rebirth, and an embodiment, someone who is ascended and chooses to come back in through different means other than the birth canal, which is usually termed a walk-in. So, this was in 1971 in my case. I'm so thankful to have other ascended beings in my family, and we all choose our parents. So, again, coming, walking into a family of different masters that I've worked with for tens of thousands of years on this planet. This was just south of San Francisco, about 25 minutes is where I walked in 1971, in San Mateo County, at the place where I grew up. And it's just been a very interesting tale and the experience of the walk-in. Mine happened during the dream time, coming into the body of a four-year-old who was born 1967, July 26th, which is the first day of the Mayan calendar. So coming in, it can happen in so many different ways if we have already graduated or ascended in order to come back and to serve in the flesh. We have to have permission from the karmic board. We can serve as ascended beings, but with the appearance of an unascended being. We're not allowed to stick out in these, say, violet bubbles or floating off the ground, and etc. It's all about blending in this time, and that we need a certain number of beings here, and that there's millions of walk-ins that are here in this time. What we call the critical mass, or the group avatar, the certain minimum number, critical mass number needed for the mass anchoring of the fifth dimension, according to the Mayan prophecy, the 2012-2013 Heaven on Earth Mayan prophecy, where the fifth dimension gets re-anchored. So I'm just one of millions that have chosen to come back, and had been given permission to come back in the body, to be part of that critical mass, that group avatar, which is 55 million beings is the minimum number that we need to literally turn the circuit, or to flip the circuit, to change the frequency, the electricity on the surface of the planet, where the protons will actually be speeding up and moving into the fifth dimensional frequencies, which happens in a very short time from now. But to explain that there's many walk-ins, and that there's many different ways that it can happen, be through illness or an accident, or through some kind of out-of-body experience, or what could be termed death. It doesn't always have to happen that way. It can happen just within, like in my case, in the dream time, and it's usually happening within the first 7 years of life. As far as the beings that we're walking into, like I mentioned, I walk into the body of a gentleman named Mark at 4 years old in San Mateo County, California, 1967. Or excuse me, 1971, again in July. So it was just around the fourth birthday, and it was coming in the dream time. It was a very subtle transition. I remember actually coming in that time, and then receiving a dream after I had come into the body of Mark, and actually being in the body again, having a dream about receiving a message later on in this embodiment, that I would be able to really fulfill my mission later on in life, and that I would receive a message that would give me the permission to come out into the public. And that happened right before my 33rd birthday in 1999, or Mark's birthday. So that would have been 33 years to the walk-in of Mark. I'd only been here for 20 some odd years at that point, but it was May 12, 1999. Is when I received the message. And that wasn't in the dream time, that was fully awake and conscious, just in nature, and it was through a 45-minute message to the bird. And it's a long story about how I received that, but just to explain that I can hear birds in English when they are singing or chirping. I can hear it in English. So the message was no more aliases. And again, that was right before the beginning of my 33rd year in this embodiment, in this time. So it is been very interesting. I've only been going where I've been invited, which is all over the world. And the doors have to be open for me in order to come through. So I'm just so thankful to have these invitations like today and this blessed program to be able to share a little bit about myself and the second part that I'm going to be talking about here shortly is about the prophecy of the Mayan calendar and about what's coming up for us. So it's been very interesting in the different meetings and different things that I had in my growing up, in my childhood years and before I had received my message in 1999 to come out into the public, just to know that I would never have assumed or come out into the public if I had received permission. And there's millions of different beings and masters and ascended and graduates that have chose to come back, not necessarily going to receive a message to come out, but some of us have. And there are, for example, Babaji and different masters that are in the public, these living masters that choose to keep coming back, like myself. Over the last 226,000 years, I just kept incarnating and incarnating up until my ascension in the life of Francis Bacon. And then ever since the life of Francis Bacon, I've been walking in or embodying. Again, there's a difference between incarnation and embodying. So I've just stayed pretty much in the body as much as possible in a relentless pursuit of victory in this world. Many beings who came and have returned to their other constellations and to other quote-unquote home planets, etc. But myself, I definitely have chosen to be here and embodied pretty much the whole time. So, again, that's just a choice that we make, and we don't always have to stay embodied and to be serving in the flesh. Can be serving from on high and from the ethers, but the quickest and most productive way to quote-unquote weed the garden of contamination is to be embodied and to physically be weeding the garden here, embodied on the planet, walking and serving and in action, constantly in action. So, and that's, it's hard to weed the garden from the etheric planes. Have to be here embodied to be able to really move things forward through selfless deeds and acts. So this has been my choice, and it's just been awesome just to be able, since I received my message, to come out and to be able to share with so many different beings and invitations with Nelson Mandela and meeting with Dalai Lama and JFK Jr. and the famous producers and actors and generals and princesses and aides to prime ministers and the King of Nigeria and on, and it's just been, again, it's just invitations, and I just go where the door is open. I never really ever going anywhere advertising or knocking on people's doors. It's just mainly through the dreams and through different actions that I've come to people, usually before the invitation. They'll have some kind of experience and then just say, hey, maybe you can come to share some things. I have some friends who want to hear what you might have to share with us. So it's mainly been in this way. And all throughout Europe and Canada and Central America and South America. And now so many doors have opened up in the U.S. Again, I'm so thankful just to be on this radio show. They're on radio in so many places, but not too much in this country. I'm just happy so many doors have opened, let's say, here in New York and Pennsylvania and Arizona and all these different things that are opening here in the U.S. So it's awesome to be able to share and to be here. And again, just to remind people, like Juliana was sharing, of things that we just forget through time. Because we are pretty far from the great central sun, quote-unquote, on the fifth ring out from the source, which is pretty far out. The seven super universes are on the fifth super universe out from the great central sun, where everything comes from, the source, the galactic center, the eternal isle of paradise, the great hub, however we choose to call that. So it's easy to slip away from memory as the farther we are from source, the easier it is for us to lose that memory of where we came from, and that we are these eternal beings that live forever, that there is no death, that we're all just visiting these places, that we all come from source, and we're just experiencing, you know, becoming human and mastering being human and ascending and going through that whole process and living through every experience that the human experience offers, through every different life that we could imagine that we have already lived through and gained all of this experience. So it's just been awesome, even though there's so much quote-unquote contamination or discord, just to be able to experience all of that and to have that in our memories of knowing that you know, how intense or how far we can be disconnected and complete, say, memory loss, and then to be able to come all the way back in full circle. So that is a huge lesson, and it truly is a blessing, no matter what the outward appearance is in this world, that it's all going to be redeemed in a few short moments here, according to the Mayan prophecy. And I'm going to go into that now. So just to share a little bit about the prophecy that I've had many different embodiments over the thousands of years, and one of the main ones was Kukulkan, head of the Maya. I've had other embodiments as king in the Inca and the Aztec Maya, and many other different indigenous tribes. So Kukulkan is the one that is responsible for bringing the this sacred calendar from the Pleiades, via the Pleiades, with Pleiadian help, let's just say, from friends from the Pleiades. I was serving there before I was here. This is the last constellation that I was at in service before my arrival here 226,000 years ago. So just bringing these memories with us to the next place to remind people of the true calendar. Everybody was so close, with 2,000 saying that the electronics were going to cease and all these things were going to happen in 2000. And they're actually just 12, 13 years off, very close, very, very close in the longer scheme of time, as we know. It was just a blink. So everybody's very close with that, but it's, again, just the wrong calendar. So just to remind people of the true calendar and our rotation around the Pleiades, and that is the foundation of the calendar, is marking our rotation on the Pleiades, and that there's only a few short months, literally, until we finish that cycle or that next circle around the Pleiades. I wish it was yesterday, I wish it was this morning, I wish it was tonight that we had this great change, the heaven on earth, the seventh golden age of Aquarius, the however we like to term that, all the different terms, the rapture, the second coming, all the different terms for that, but it's all in the right time, and when these celestial movements and gateways and stars, etc., all line up, it's been really cast in stone for a long, long time. So it's not going to be happening anytime in the next week or so, or like I always say, I wish it was this morning. But the finish of the calendar is December 2012, and then they have what they call the seven mystic moons, which marks seven more months. And that's the most critical part of the Mayan calendar as far as the prophecy is concerned, is the seven mystic moons, which means seven more months past December 2012, which puts you at July 25th, the final day of the calendar, 2013. And this is the actual ending of the calendar. So it's really important to, if we are interested in prophecy, in knowing when this change is going to happen, and it is a sudden change, glorious and sudden change back into the fifth dimension for the whole world and all those who choose to be in it. And it's just a matter of just making a choice in that, on that final day, in July 25th, 2013. So it's it's all of our dreams times 10,000 in the manifestation, just in a few short moments, in just less than 60 months from now, just in a few short weeks. So the key is just to stay positive, to know that the Earth's going to be good again, and it's going to return back to how it once was before the fall of the angels and the first three root races with the evolutions and the soul groups, etc., completely finished their evolutions and completed everything that was in front of them, and we're just returning back to that state where you stay in the same body, you know, just for thousands and thousands of years in this physically etheric, higher dimensional light body. And so everybody will still be here. We're not going anywhere. We'll just be glowing in this physically etheric existence. There's a huge meteor shower that happens that wipes out all of the satellites, which creates what they call a core dump, and all the electronics cease in the world. So a lot of people are taking cover. The ones who know about the change, like myself and my friends, will be outside just welcoming the change. Just being that positive grounding anchor for that fifth dimensional frequency, because right after the meteors and the core dump, the meteors go away, and there's a huge craft from Sirius that rises out of the west, circles the Earth one time, and the critical mass stands up and anchors the fifth dimension, and it's finished in a few short moments. The craft doesn't land, but it circles very close, and it's over 3,000 miles across, so the whole planet gets to see it. It's about as large as the moon. It's blue in color, all octagonal in its architecture. And again, this ship just circles just one time, and the critical mass stands up, and it's a combination of so many different things that create that to happen, with the celestial lineup, with the celestial family, with our participation being the grounding anchor, and on and on. It's all in the right timing. It's like picking a grape before it's ripe and it's bitter and we spit it out. And so it's all in the right time. It has to be in the right time. It can't be tonight. I wish it was. But and again, just in a few short months from now, to be back in that seventh, or to be back in that golden age frequency, in that fifth dimensional frequency of the seventh and final golden age of Aquarius, which is only music and art. And it's a 2,000-year celebration. Violet mountain ranges where the eternal songs never end, and the valleys are echoing the beautiful songs and the music and the art that's at the top of the pyramid of the planetary body, let's say, of the logos. It's all in celebration and in creativity, where all inner gifts are honored and respected, and where we can just contribute our own inner gifts to the global tilt and the perfect, sophisticated barter system of the fifth and higher dimensional frequencies. And that all the gateways will be open at that time between Middle Earth. Other star systems will be able to travel at the speed of thought, and just to be in Venus at this point, and later in the day to be on another star and another planet, and then back and on and on. So it's there's no barriers, there's no tethered bound to anything. Totally free. Freedom. So it's going to be good again, and just to share that it's going to be right here, and that we're not going anywhere. There will be a few people who choose not to step into the oneness, but it's a very small number. And in that final evening on July 25th, because there is no more evenings after the change into the golden age, in the final evening, they'll just be transported to another place just through their own free will and choice, because nobody can be pushed into the oneness. We would all think, well, shoot, why wouldn't we want it? But there are a few who might choose to stay in the third dimension, but it just won't be one of the 7 trillion inhabitable blue planets. So again, I'm just thankful just to be here, to be in service, to be sharing, and just to be on this program and to be on the East Coast later this year a couple different times. And I'm just really happy to just share that everybody's here, that we are the ones we've been waiting for. And it's just through memory. And as we grow and mature, more memory comes through our dreams, through different meetings, through meditations. We start to remember who we are, where we came from, how we got here, why we're here, where we're going. So it's just so crucial just to stay in the intuition, to feel with the mind and think with the heart, which is the crucial, just to use the mind only for discernment, just to remember for the daily third dimensional deeds, and that every other decision needs to be coming from the intuitive voice, the gut feeling, the instinct, the my heart said, like for instance, we might do something, say, oh, my heart said, oh, I shouldn't have did that. And so it's just always following that, always following the heart, the intuitive voice in the sacred chamber, what we call the secret chamber, the fifth chamber of the heart. So if we're always following that intuitive voice, we'll always be on the golden road, we'll always be in the right place, the right people, the right time, for the right reason, and the right things happen, walking in miracles, living in perfection. So again, just use the mind for discernment, brush the teeth, pay the bills, and everything else from the heart, as the name of this program conveys. I just want to thank everybody for letting me be here, to be part of this, and just to share. I remember when I was young in this embodiment, one master, as I was coming out of a hot spring, came out of the forest out of nowhere and stepped up next to me. I was just a young teenager, and he says, if you can just funnel all of your energy into your best creative ability, your life will be sustained. And then he just disappeared back into the woods. And I was like, wow, okay, yeah, funnel my energy into my best creative ability, poetry, music, photography. So that's really where the energies are, is in the music and in the art, because that's the whole premise of the world. In just a very few short months from now, and a few short weeks, as I like to say it, just to keep that perspective, to be able to see that perfect light at the end of the tunnel of this journey that we're oh so close to completion. So just know, as soon as you see the ship after the meteors, there's like a fifth dimensional breeze. As soon as you see the craft, there's just like this fifth dimensional breeze, this warm, comforting breeze that just sweeps over you, and then all of a sudden you just, we made it. And it's been such a long journey on this particular world, so it's just, what a celebration that we have coming. Truly, to have what they call a global ascension is a first-time-ever event, and something that's never happened in the history of the cosmos that I'm aware of, to actually have billions of souls all get to just make a choice through the compassionate gestures of the karmic board, creator, and other members of the upper celestial management system to allow this to happen, and that we only have to have a certain percentage of our karma balance to make that graduation. So everybody gets to just make a choice. It's as simple as just saying, okay, I am, yes, yes, and just standing up and just being that positive grounding anchor during the greatest miracle known to this planet. When we have the return of the star people, return of the bird tribe, return of the of our celestial extended cosmic family, our old friends from Sirius and so many other different systems that are aboard this vehicle that circles the earth. You know, all we have to do is just stand up and just to breathe it in, and that when that breeze hits us, that it's complete. And then we're free from any tethering, and then we get to celebrate. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I've been shown different things in the future about the celebrations and being able to walk on the planet after the change, and it's just truly just perfect as any kind of heaven-like world that you could imagine, like in the etheric plane now, where we go when we are in between incarnations and embodiments. That's how it's going to be on the surface. Heaven on earth energy, where the etheric plane literally descends back onto the surface in that moment during the change. So we'll have all these incredible retreats, temples, and communities, these crystalline temples manifesting right onto the surface again, where they once were before the fall and before they had to be removed for safety, etc., everything that they had worked for.
So, Jermaine, was this planet an experiment? Or what is the purpose of what has been going on here all this time?
Well, the original plan was to set up a place that could receive a lot of different people from other planets in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Other, say, like cosmic refugees, people from Maldek, the planet that used to be between Mars and Jupiter that is now the asteroid belt.
Right.
A lot of those beings needed another place to go to try to complete their evolution, to gain their ascension, etc. People from Mars, Venus, people from outside of our system, from other systems. One of the main reasons that this planet was seeded 500 million years ago in the Middle Earth, in the original settlement of Shambhala, was to create a haven where people could come to for a second, third, or hundredth chance to finish the human experience and gain their ascension.
Right.
Which was all these beings from all these different planets and other systems. And then also was another main focus on this planet was to create the universal body type. Because there's so many different soul groups that are incarnating in different places, and it was hard for certain soul groups to incarnate into certain body types that they weren't accustomed to. It was very difficult for certain groups to embody in these different, say, insect kind and different kinds of what we would consider kind of bizarre body types. And so to create a universal human body type, so soul groups could incarnate easily throughout the different systems.
Right.
So that's another one of the reasons. There's quite a few reasons why the planet was seeded, but mainly is for the what I call the cosmic refugees and for beings that needed another place to go to that maybe they had there was just too much discord on their planet where they couldn't achieve it on their own home planet, or they had actually disintegrated their own home planet through discord and wars, etc. So it's just a huge dose of compassion. This planet is just the huge cosmic soup, beings from over 28 different constellations and many different stars or planets in our own system, and it's just interesting how it all comes together here in a very short time. Everything that we've been working towards, which is mainly just graduating in the what they call the ascension, what I could just call graduating from the seven steps of life, or the seven steps of the temple.
What percentage of us has completed? Because the other day when we were talking, you said that the light had won. What percentage of us that are here now have completed our mission here as far as making it through ascension? I know it's by choice, but do you know how many of us that will be choosing that will be completing our lifetime here on Earth?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this is the final embodiment for anybody who chooses it. Again, everybody just gets to make a choice after the meteors and when this great change comes in 60 months from now. There's so many beings that have already graduated, and that's what the critical mass of the group avatar consists of, is tens of millions of beings that have already ascended, that chose to come back to be that grounding anchor for the fifth dimension, knowing that we need a certain number to carry the whole world. So 55 million is the minimum, and we're way past that number. So to me, there's tens of millions, over 100 million at this point in my eyes, that have already graduated, that are actually on the planet, that are just here to assist the rest to make that transition. The karmic board is only requiring 51% of the karma to be balanced. So anyone and just about everyone on this planet has that opportunity to just make their ascension on that day, July 25th, 2013, in the global ascension, in this first time ever event, at least as far as my memories serving me, first time ever. So that everybody, over 20 billion souls, because we have about approximately double the beings in the astral plane that we have that are incarnate. There's like 6 just under 7 billion incarnate and somewhere around 14 billion discarnate. So we're looking at about 20 billion roughly that all get to make a choice on that day. And the way that it was set up through the karmic board, everybody will be allowed to make that transition if they choose it in that moment. Again, it's up to the free will, but it's a huge percentage. Is your answer to your answer, or the answer to your question? It's a very large percentage, I think, that that will make the ascension. That will be their final embodiment on life, you know, as life as we know it on this planet, because it's going to change. It.
So on that day, we have a choice of either staying here once we finish the ascension process, staying here on the new earth and keep doing good things here, or we can leave at that time and go home to our original home planets if our original home planets still exist.
Well, the original home planets are you know, those were only just, again, just like somewhere that we were visiting. Everybody originally is coming from the source of the great central sun. So nobody's really from any of the stars that you can see at night in the sky, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just visiting all these places. After the change, yeah, you could go anywhere and anywhere at the speed of thought. You could literally just walk up like cloud-like steps right up to the sixth dimension and on up to the seventh. You could just do it through the speed of thought, or literally just walking up, like I said, like the cloud-like steps. There's no limitation at all, but the celebration here is such an unprecedented thing that nobody's going to want to miss out on it, because it's just an unbelievable celebration. It's unlike any has ever been seen in the history of the cosmos, to my knowledge, because nothing like this has ever happened, to have over, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 billion souls all make one unified choice.
Well, I, for one, is sure ready for that. I'm more than ready.
So I don't think too many people are going to be wanting to go anywhere, because this is the place, this is going to be the hot spot, as far as I'm concerned, in all of the cosmos. If you want to be in any kind of jubilee in the joy, it's just, it's really hard to describe. I've been shown a lot in the future about how it is, and it's just, the music's just a whole other level. All the art, everything just goes to such a higher level. It's really hard to describe in the third dimensional capacity, but it's just going to be, yeah, awesome. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't think too many people are going to be going back to their old, let's just say, not their home planets, but just, you know, planets they might have spent a lot of time at.
Right.
Like, I could call Pleiades a home planet, but I, you know, I have more memory than that. You know, some people just say, oh, well, I just remember coming from Venus, so they might say that's their home planet, but that's just how far their memory is going back. It's only going that far, because everybody is sparked from the white fire core of the great central sun out of the heart of Creator, coming through the gateway in Sirius into this local sector of this it's kind of a long, it's hard to describe all the different parts of the universe, but just to know, to get into this sector in this part of the galaxy, so to speak, you have to come through Sirius and coming from the great central sun. So ultimately there is no home planet. We're all from the source.
We're all from the source.
Period.
And
we're just visiting these places and embodying in different soul groups and moving from one place to the next and living through every possible experience, you know, that God has for us in all these different places.
You said God.
Or Creator, or however we choose to term that.
Can you describe to the listeners God? Creator.
Yeah, the definition for God to me is the geometry of divinity, G-O-D, geometry of divinity, which is God's energy metered out through geometry in a numeric way throughout the physical world that surround the central universe, or this non-physical universe. The way that the Creator looks to me is like a face of flame. I've been fortunate enough to stand a few different times in the presence of. And to me, it just looks like a face of flames, like a burning fire, the white fire core of the great central sun. It's kind of a long story about God, but one of the definitions is the geometry of divinity, and that Creator's word, His breath, or how do we say that? Originally, we say our Father, like in the native Father Sky, Mother Earth, like in the indigenous and in Native American and indigenous peoples of the world. But now that we have Alpha and Omega, the ascended cosmic twin flames anchored in the core of the great central sun, it's the total balance of the Father-Mother, of the Mother-Father. There is no separation or saying the Father's kingdom. Ultimately, the central universe is a non-physical world of the Creator with a billion perfect Havana worlds surrounded by the Mother or the material seven super universes, the physical world. So, for example, here we are on Mother Earth, right? It's not Father Earth, right?
Right.
And it's not Mother Sky, it's Father Sky, or Father Sun, Mother Earth. So that's the original. But there was so much lack of wisdom amongst other things about that Alpha and Omega were asked to be, you know, if they would actually anchor their energies in the core of the great central sun from Creator, from Great Spirit, to put an end to that conversation of, well, what about the Mother? How come it's just the Father? So, to me, personally, it originally was the Father, but now we have Alpha and Omega anchored in the core of the great central sun. So there is no more. It's a totally balanced Mother, Father, God.
Could you explain a little bit about, with all the UFO sightings that we have in the sky, who are they? Do you know?
Well, there's many different ships here from a lot of different places. There's beings that are people on the planet that are people from Andromeda, from Orion, from Pleiades, from Sirius, and even from Source and Great Central Sun. So it's kind of unlimited about these different, you know, where they're coming from and who they are. The direct contact that I have is with Pleiades, and I've been so fortunate to have contact and to be in close quarters at times with our friends from these other systems that look just like we do. Pleiades is the main contact that I've had in the extraterrestrial capacity. Venus, there's one gentleman from Venus as well that I've had contact with, but it's mainly been from Pleiades. And since our solar system rotates around Pleiades every 26,000 years roughly, that we would have a lot of Pleiadian activity here. Because that's the hub of the immediate wheel that we are spinning on. So, the Pleiadians look just like we do, at least the ones that I've had contact with look exactly like we do, and a lot of them actually are embodied on the planet. There are other beings from other systems and stars that are actually embodied and living on the surface, amongst us, in our everyday lives. We can usually tell them by their facial structures, by the bone structure in the face, the eyes, the forehead. It's usually, you can just tell just by in the face.
High cheekbones.
Where they're from. So I think it's such an abundant thing now. So many people have seen UFOs and have seen ships, and I've seen over five dozen craft, and have been so fortunate to meet with beings on craft, etc. They're just extended family and friends. There are a few that don't look like us, as we know of, and we've heard all the stories about these other maybe not so desirable. But a lot of us actually have karmic ties with those beings and had crossed paths, let's say, in other places with them. And some of those more undesirable stories, actually, they're actually desirable stories in the end, because they're just trying to save their evolutions. They're just trying to weave love back into their race through these abductions, etc. But any of the, it doesn't seem that that's so abundant now. It seems that all the activity that I keep hearing about is really glorious, and the ships are beautiful. And here in Mount Shasta, there's been some amazing sightings, two huge sightings just in the last 8 months here on Mount Shasta, with mass sightings, many people seeing, and just beautiful craft, gorgeous craft, and telepathic communications. And a lot of the people here in Shasta receive the downloads from the beings in the craft,
mm-hmm.
the messages, and share those, etc. So it's just extended family, and we'll all be together very shortly here. There won't be any separation between us and that.
Once this ascension happens in the next 60 months or so, that's when we'll all be together, is that it?
Exactly, sure. You'll be able to, just like it was before the fall, like in the beginning of
awesome.
Like in the beginning of Lemuria, where you could just hop in a ship and go to Venus for lunch and come back and go into Shambhala for dinner and just, you know, just like, it would just be like taking a taxi. If you wanted
wow.
to, if you just wanted to, you know, go to another planet or another star.
Awesome.
Yeah, piece of cake, no barriers. You know, it's just, it's the biggest party known to man. As far as I'm concerned. Well, all that'll be opened up.
That'll all be opened
yeah,
up.
Yeah, there's no more gravitational barriers, physical barriers, dimensional barriers, time barriers, consciousness, etc. All the different kinds of barriers that are keeping the third dimensional contamination from penetrating the fifth dimensional pureness of the original Garden of Eden in Shambhala. So those barriers have been in place now for a long time, since the fall, but nothing that couldn't be redeemed in a few short moments, and all those gates are open, and I'm really looking forward to being in connection with the over 100 million beings that reside inside the Earth.
What about the government? All the governments are going to change here on
Earth?
Well,
the whole premise on the planet is just a fifth-dimensional unified consciousness. There is the only thing that's ruling is music and art. That's at the top of the pyramid. There is no, again, where everybody just contributes their inner gift to the global tilt. There's no more money or any kind of separation. There's no questions, only answers, as the Akashic Record is just on the tip of everybody's tongue. And, you know, living as gods and goddesses side by side in perfection. Yeah, there's no governmental nothing, no caste laws, as far as man laws. It's all God laws in a higher existence. Just know, like, when you pass away, where you would go in between incarnations, that's how it's going to be here. Like, when we go, say, to heaven or to a nice warm place, or how people describe, you know, going to the light, etc., that's just going to be right here.
Awesome.
So there is no government or somebody in control, nothing like that. No, everybody's in one blood, one race, one conscious, one
no
family.
Death, no disease.
Exactly. Yeah, there's none of the stuff that we know of, really. Only the greatest things that we know in this dimension will carry over. You know, the highest that we ever felt in this life, where we could just fly away when everything was in line, that's what carries over. I mean, the minimum that it can be is perfect after the change.
Do you mean many people channeling you, or they say that they're channeling you, and quite a few are talking about prosperity funds and about all this money that's going to
be. Yeah, there's a lot of different funds in my name and different accounts that have been created in my name.
Right.
And I think it's the largest, or one of the largest bank accounts on the planet, supposedly, was set up in my name. And I've been hearing about different organizations and things. And unfortunately, all the people that I've talked to that have put in substantial funds haven't received, or haven't been able, or I don't know, it's still being held for some reason. And I don't really put any energy into it. I've never... I mean, I've been told, and this is just what I've been told, that there's an account in my name that has 40 zeros on it, which is a number that we don't even have a name for. It's so big.
Wow.
But that I'll never have access to it, I don't think, and I'm not really going to pursue to have access to those funds. I just know that in the change, money doesn't exist in a few short weeks from now, as far as I'm concerned, in a few short months when this thing happens. So I just suggest not to dump lots of money into things. If you want to support Saint Germain, you can support me directly instead of through somebody else that's keeping it in some fund or something.
Exactly. Help you where you are at right now. Help you the best.
I live a very simple life, and it's interesting that there's an account with 40 zeros. This makes me laugh.
I know, and you're not even getting any use of it.
I said, well, it'd be awesome to put it to use, but it's all in God's hands, and it's all, everything's perfect. We just know that God's in charge of everything, and
God's in
control. And if it's, if it's not being dispersed, then there's a reason, and I'm not asking why. I just keep moving forward. I really don't know a lot about it. I don't. But I know that there's a lot of people that have put money into it, and I gave my bit of advice.
Well, I hope you get it. You deserve it. You, for all you're doing for the world and the people.
Yeah,
we got about 4 minutes left.
Sure.
So if there's anything that you would like to let the listeners know about, any of your contacts, your website, you give out your website.
Yeah, well, maybe Thea can do that at this time.
Right. And also I'd like to tell the listeners that this show wasn't a call-in show, but Saint Germain will be back on July the 26th, and that will be a week, 2 weeks from this Saturday. He will be on July 26th. That show will have open lines, and at that time, you can call in and ask your questions, and I'm sure that Saint Germain would be more than happy to answer your questions. I'm sure you got a lot of questions. So just go right ahead, see you in Saint Germain, and let the people know about anything that you need to let them know about. Your contacts now.
All right. I'd like to let everyone know that Saint Germain does have a teleconference that we have happening every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And
Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time, yes, 4 o'clock Pacific. And he is having and holding a Mount Shasta conclave, a 6-day conclave in September 15th to the 20th. And he is coming to Westchester, Pennsylvania for August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd and holding a conference there about presenting the 2012 Mayan prophecies of heaven on earth. If you'd like information about any of these, you can email us at heartoftheviolet flame@yahoo.com. Or you can call us at 484-266-0158.
Gotcha. Okay, and also to on my show information page, you can go on there on bbsradio.com, and all this information that's up there right now regarding Saint Germain and Sia will be up there for the whole month since he's coming back on again on the 26th. So you can go on there, you can find his website and go in and read about him, see all his awesome pictures, get all the information that you want on there, as well as about Sia and what she has to offer. That'll be put up there as well, Sia's contacts and also her upcoming website. And if you'd like, you can also go to my website. It's a brand new website. It was just launched, and my website is www.theangelandme.com. That's www.theangelandme.com. And enjoy your realm. It's a website that's dedicated to my sister that's on the other side, my identical twin sister, as well as my kitty cat that's over there, and Mel, my healing angel, extraterrestrial, whoever he was. I'm just grateful I'm here to do good things for animals, people in the earth, and meet wonderful people like you guys that you just came on my show today. Thank you so much, Saint Germain. I am so honored, humbly honored. Thank you, Sia, so very much for bringing this dear soul into my life. Bless you. Thank you, Doug. And Don, thank you so very, very much for pre-recording the show for me today and for always being there for me. And I love y'all. Bless you. I'll be in touch with you, Saint Germain and Thea. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening, listeners. Always be kind to one another. Do deeds of kindness each day, even if it's no more than giving someone a hug or a smile. Bless you. Have a great day. And spread love and peace.